Live from the College of Communication, Arts, and Sciences at Michigan State University, it is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's Current Sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a star receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shot fake one time.
We talking about practice, not a game.
And I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here looking in the mirror. Do I look good? I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cat.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
Beautiful people, welcome to this Monday edition of WKAR's Current Sports. It is March 1st, 2021. I really hope you all had a great weekend out there. We are starting to see temperatures rise just a bit. You know, a pretty good weekend. You know, we saw temperatures in the 40s. The sun peeked through. You know, we saw some blue skies. Today, what we're seeing much of the same. You know, it's a bit cloudy right now, but, you know, right now you can just feel it getting warmer outside, and that is certainly something that we all are looking forward to as we try and look ahead to spring, right? But I hope you all are well. It was certainly an eventful weekend in the world of sports, to say the least. So much taking place, including your Michigan State men's basketball team being in action on Sunday. And look, it's been a very, very busy stretch of basketball for Michigan State. As we all know, these games are being crammed in on the back end as Michigan State needs to win as many games as possible in order to pad that resume to try and make a case that they deserve to be in the big dance, that they deserve to be in the NC2A tournament. And it's tough. You know, Michigan State coming off two wins over two top five teams in the nation and then having to go on the road to play a very scrappy Maryland team, a team that is not an easy dub. I mean, let's face it, on any given night in the Big Ten, you are not going to have an easy matchup. That's just not how it is when you're playing in the best conference in college basketball. In Maryland, well-rested team, had an entire week off. Michigan State, of course, didn't have an entire week off. Again, back-to-back wins against top five teams, not much prep time. And then you got to travel to Maryland. They looked a bit tired. I'm not using that as an excuse. They did, though. They came out totally flat. And Maryland, any run that Michigan State had, Maryland answered. So we'll dive into that loss, and I'll tell you what it now means for Michigan State when evaluating where they currently are here on this March 1st, beginning of March. Can you believe that? You know, February just flew by. But we'll look at where Michigan State is right now and what they must do, what I believe they must do in order to make a solid case that they deserve to be in that tourney field. All right, so we'll dive into that. You also hear from head coach Tom Izzo after yesterday's loss. He'll give his thoughts on what he believes Michigan State must do, his team must do, in order to try and convince the committee that they deserve to be in that field. Also, I want to talk about, in our headliners in just a moment, how the world of golf honored Tiger Woods yesterday. So we all know by now Tiger Woods was involved in a very serious car crash, single car crash last week that really shook up the sports world, not just the sports world, but the world in general. And the world of golf honored Tiger in a pretty cool way over the weekend. So I'll get to that as well. And then, of course, I'll have weekend winners for you, where I look at the weekend that was, and I'll bring to you a few individuals who I believe deserve a shout-out. You guys know I'm a big TV buff as well, and I'll comment in the weekend winner segment on what we saw yesterday at the Golden Globes. Yes, the Golden Globe Awards were yesterday. A very different Golden Globe Awards show, just like many award shows have been due to COVID-19. But Tina Fey and Amy Poehler actually hosted the show live on television on different parts of the nation, New York and L.A. And very creative how they did it. Technology, folks. Technology. So I'll comment on that as well. We'll talk about a new quarterback transfer for Jim Harbaugh and the Michigan Wolverines. And Anthony Durrell, Flint's own Anthony Durrell, back in the boxing ring over the weekend as well. So as you see, a very loaded show. If you would like to be a part of it, multiple ways in which you can do so. You can pick up that phone and dial 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Leave us a voicemail there. You can head over to social media and leave us a comment anywhere on our Facebook page at facebook.com/WKAR News. You can tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR, or tweet the show at WKAR News. All right. So a lot to get to. You know what's next. Here are your current sports quick hit headliners for this beginning of March, March 1st, 2021. Okay, and we start here. The Michigan State men's basketball team fell behind early and could not recover. They actually fell behind 11-0, dug a very early hole in that game, double-digit lead for the Terrapins, and you know they could not recover after that. Maryland beats the Spartans 73-55 on Sunday afternoon at the Xfinity Center. Grad guard Josh Langford, he scored 12 points, 6 rebounds, 4 assists. That led the Spartans, but junior forward Aaron Henry. Josh and Aaron really struggled in this game. Aaron Henry had 11 points, 6 rebounds, 4 assists. They both had a lot of shots to try and get the double-digit points. And also Joey Hauser, the junior forward, he added 11 points and 8 rebounds. Kind of returning to form for Joey Hauser a little bit. So now Michigan State returns home to host Indiana on Tuesday at the Breslin Center. So tomorrow night, a very, very big game as Michigan State tries to add another win to that tournament resume, possible tournament resume. And Michigan State will close out the year with 2 straight games against the surging Michigan Wolverines, against Juwan Howard and company. Man, that Michigan Wolverines team looks really, really good. Okay, for those who were looking forward to seeing the Michigan State women's basketball team in action over the weekend, well, the Spartan women's squad had to postpone Saturday's scheduled meeting against Nebraska. And that's because of advice that, you know, both programs received from medical staffs concerning COVID-19 issues. Now, it was reported that the Spartans didn't have any positive COVID-19 tests, and this was a Nebraska problem. So MSU had not left for the arena at the time the contest was postponed. That's according to a program spokesperson. Nebraska did just play against Minnesota, which called off its scheduled game against Michigan due to COVID-19 issues in its program. The Spartans are next scheduled to play home against Wisconsin on Saturday. However, Michigan State could make up one of their postponed games this week before that Saturday contest. Okay, so Susie Merchant's team keeping it, playing it safe. And that's what you want to do, especially with COVID-19 still running rampant out there. Okay, for the first time Since former LSU and Louisiana Tech offensive tackle Willie Allen pledged to the Wolverines last fall, Michigan football added a player from the NCAA transfer portal. Hailing from the 2018 recruiting class, pretty big news here, as Allen Bowman was a three-star quarterback out of Grapevine, Texas, a pro-style QB who played three seasons at Texas Tech, where he completed 67% of his passes for a little over 5,000 yards, 33 touchdowns, 7 picks, on 713 attempts. On Sunday, he announced that he will be committing to the Michigan Wolverines. How about that? So, again, Allen Bowman from Texas Tech, he will be joining in a quarterback battle between Cade McNamara and former five-star J.J. McCarthy. So this is big. This is a very, very big story here. You know, when it broke, it was everywhere. It was everywhere on social media yesterday. And, you know, anytime you're coming from a program like Texas Tech, that says a lot about the kind of caliber player that you are. So we'll see what happens. That's going to be a very interesting quarterback battle that Jim Harbaugh and his coaching staff will have a hard time evaluating in this offseason. But, yeah, Allen Bowman transferring from Texas Tech to Michigan. Okay, to the lowly Detroit Pistons, as yesterday marked the Pistons' last home game of the season until March 15th, when they kick off the second portion of their home games against the San Antonio Spurs. The New York Knicks came to town yesterday and put a sour end to Detroit's opening home schedule, defeating the Pistons 109-90 behind a strong performance from Julius Randle, who poured in 25 points, 8 rebounds, and 6 assists. I should say all-star Julius Randle. Pretty big accomplishment there for Randle. Detroit fell behind by 20-plus points midway through the third quarter and suffered just a poor start. The Pistons shot 38% overall, 28% from three-point range, and turned the ball over 16 times. Also, this was a return to the D for now former Piston Derrick Rose, who is now with the Knickerbockers. He had 14 points in his return to Detroit. All right, the Winged Wheel. The Detroit Red Wings took on the Chicago Blackhawks on Sunday at the United Center, facing their original six rival for the sixth time this season. Coming off a confidence-raising victory the previous night, the Wings were routed. 7-2 was the final, folks. 7-2. It's the second time this season the Wings have lost by that score, and it came one night after they won consecutive games for the first time this season. They were credited with 46 shots on Kevin Lankinen on Sunday. They will now head to Columbus to play the Blue Jackets tomorrow night. The Wings sit at 7-14-3. All right, and spring training action for the Detroit Tigers as the Old English D beat the Philadelphia Phillies yesterday, 10-2 the final, and they are currently playing the New York Yankees. Good to see that baseball is back out in Lakeland, right? And Flint native Anthony the Dog Durrell. Now, he wanted to prove on Saturday that he deserved another shot at the championship, but after 12 hard-fought, and I mean hard-fought rounds, I watched this fight from beginning to end. After those 12 hard-fought rounds, with Kyron Davis, nothing was settled for the former two-time WBC super middleweight belt holder. Durrell and Davis fought to a split-decision draw during Saturday's WBC Super Middleweight Eliminator in L.A. Now, the main event was closer than expected, but Fox TV analysis and former heavyweight champ Lennox Lewis and really most viewers thought that Durrell won the fight. I thought Durrell did just enough to win that fight. Again, watching that, yeah, did Kyron Davis show up and have some great rounds and hit Durrell with some shots? Certainly. But there really wasn't a moment where I thought that Durrell was in trouble or that he had lost complete control of the fight. But the judges saw it differently and yielded a draw in that fight. So Durrell sits at 33-2-2 with 24 KOs. And a big fight for Davis. Good showing for him. He's now 15-2-1 with 6 KOs. So we'll see where Durrell goes from here. He's in his mid-30s. All right. And this was very, very cool to see as many, many golfers honored Tiger Woods for the final round of the WGC Workday Championship. As Tiger in a Sunday tweet said that it was touching to see so many players wearing his trademark Sunday red for the final round of that championship. Just days after a serious car accident that left him hospitalized and needing emergency surgery, Woods wrote in a tweet, quote, "It's hard to explain how touching today was when I turned on the TV and saw all the red shirts. To every golfer and every fan, you are truly helping me get through this tough time." Woods, who is 45 years old, he suffered several injuries in that single car crash. He underwent a lengthy surgery and remains hospitalized in Southern California. Colin Morikawa, he planned to join other players in honoring Woods by wearing a red shirt and black pants, but the gear from his apparel company didn't arrive in time, so he paid tribute in a better way. Check this. He converted a 54-hole lead into a victory at Concession Golf Club, shooting a final round 69 to win his fourth PGA Tour title by 3 strokes over Brooks Koepka, Billy Horschel, and Victor Hovland. How about that, man? Colin Morikawa, one of my favorite golfers to watch. At just 24 years old, Morikawa joined, you guessed it, Tiger Woods as the only other player to have a major championship and a World Golf Championship title before the age of 25. Morikawa, who was very emotional, of course, after the victory, but very emotional when talking about Tiger Woods, said afterwards, quote, "Tiger means everything to me," end quote. Awesome, awesome moment there. Congratulations to Colin. Again, one of my favorite guys on the tour to watch. And I'll have more on the golfers who paid tribute to the GOAT, Tiger Woods, during our weekend winner segment, okay? All right, that will do it for your current sports quick hit headliners. Again, multiple ways in which you can weigh in. Pick up that phone and dial 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. You can go to our Facebook page and leave us a comment really anywhere there on that page. And you can also tweet us. Tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR. And you can tweet the show at WKAR News. All right, so multiple ways in which you can be a part of the hour. Let's hit our first break, and we'll dive into some Michigan State men's basketball talk as the Spartans fell to Maryland on the road yesterday afternoon. That and more. We'll be right back. All right, welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. Michigan State fell to Maryland on the road yesterday, and you know this was a loss that snapped a 3-game win streak for Michigan State. Michigan State seemed to be rolling, and I just really think, you know, looking at how this game began, Michigan State, not to make any excuses, but this team did look fatigued. They really did. They looked like, you know, they really didn't have their legs under them. The focus wasn't there. And, I mean, when you're playing this many games in such a short amount of time, I mean, yeah, it's definitely kind of rivaling what we see in the NBA, right? You know, Michigan State in this home stretch of basketball, you know, right now, you look at Sunday's game, that was the fourth game in a stretch of 7 over the course of the final 15 days of the regular season for the Spartans. When you look at Maryland, prior to Sunday's game, they hadn't played a basketball game for a whole week, that prior Sunday. So Maryland was well rested. They were ready to get after it. And Michigan State just didn't seem to be there from the get-go. And, you know, it showed. Michigan State was down 11 to nothing. That's how that game began. 11 to nothing, folks. And they just could not climb themselves out of that hole. Now, I do want to give Maryland a lot of credit because they came with an excellent game plan. You know, Mark Turgeon and his squad, they were ready. They were ready. Because, you know, you look at the scouting report for Michigan State, you know, they are certainly led by the guards. Aaron Henry, when he has a great game, when Aaron scores about 15, 16 points, Michigan State usually wins. He's the guy. He is the key that starts that engine for Michigan State. The big men, though, are virtually non-existent. Guys like Marcus Bingham and Julius Marble and Malik Hall, those guys are still trying to figure it out and are not dominant forces. And Michigan State, you know, I think they came with this philosophy because you know, when you combine the play of Aaron Henry with just one of those big men, you know, doing cleanup duty and getting, you know, maybe 8 to 10 points, it makes it very hard to beat Michigan State, which is why they have won. They won on that 3-game win streak stretch. So Turgeon said this: I'm gonna take away the big men totally in this game. I'm gonna clog the paint. I'm going to trap a lot. And I'm gonna force Michigan State to have to shoot the basketball. You are not going to get anything in the paint. And what does that come down to? Well, that comes down to making shots. And what makes it really hard to make shots? Well, if you are fatigued and you don't have your legs under you. And if you're totally out of your original game plan, where you're used to driving and kicking out or driving and maybe getting a layup to loosen up that defense a bit. But Michigan State shot so horribly from three-point land that all Maryland had to do, and they did it very, very well, was anytime they saw somebody driving, an extra man came in and helped out, forcing Michigan State to kick it out to try and hit a three. And it was Brick City for most of that game. A lot of bricks were thrown up by Michigan State in that game. And that's just not the game that Michigan State plays. That's not what they do. And again, they did a great job of containing Aaron Henry. It was great defense on him. They sometimes sent an extra body to him. Now, I remember earlier on in a game where Aaron Henry got the ball on the left baseline. And, you know, he got the shot off. It was a great spin move. And the double, as soon as it got there, you know, Aaron Henry had to make a quick move because the double was coming. And as soon as the ball got there, he turned, was able to put in a nice little floater. But they heckled him. They heckled the heck out of him. And it's like, okay, who is the plan B option for Michigan State? Some would say Josh Langford. Maybe he's emerging as that guy. But Josh, I still want to see more consistency from him. Because I still think that Michigan State is still looking to find that consistent Tito to Aaron Henry's Michael. That's what I'm looking for right now. And I just don't see any consistency there. But they shot so bad. I mean, you look at Michigan State from the floor, they shot 19 of 57 from the floor, 33%. And from three-point land, just horrid. 8 of 28 from deep. That's 28%, folks. That's just, you're not going to beat many teams if you shoot that bad from deep in today's basketball. You're just not. We're on the flip side for Maryland. Look, they did most of their work inside, though. I mean, 21 of 43, 48% overall, 8 of 16 from deep. So they didn't even reach the 20s when it came to their three-point attempts. But, you know, the ones they did take, I mean, out of 16, you hit 8. 50% is pretty good. 4 of their 5 starters scored in double figures. Whereas for Michigan State, you know, you had three the entire game. Joey Hauser, I thought, had a solid game. 4 of 8 overall, 3 of 6 from deep, 11 points, 8 rebounds. Not a bad stat line for him, but you look at everybody else. You know, Aaron Henry, 11 points, 4 of 16 from the floor. Missed all of his three-point attempts. He took 4. Then, you know, you look at Josh Langford, you know, 3 of 13 from the floor. 2 of 8 from deep for 12 points. Then you have Rocket Watts, who, he didn't seem like, you know, the Rocket Watts we had been seeing at least the last two games. 2 of 7 from the floor, 5 points. Gabe Brown had 7 points. Julius Marble, you know, the other starter, he was really non-existent. He only played 4 minutes. Joey Hauser and Malik Hall came into the game off the bench and played 26 and 23 respectively. So, yeah, this is a case of a fatigue mixed with great defense from Maryland. And, you know, as far as where Michigan State goes from here, you know, I really think that the Spartans, in order to make the big dance, the road ahead for this team, which I'm not saying by any means will be easy, because anytime, again, you play in the Big Ten Conference, it is not easy. But I believe that if they can find one more win this regular season, again, Indiana coming to town tomorrow night, then you've got back-to-back games against the Wolverines of Michigan to close out the regular season. And then, of course, the Big Ten tournament will begin. If you can find a way to win one of these last three of the regular season and then just one, I think just one more win in the Big Ten tournament, then the committee would put Michigan State in. They'd be, you know, a first four team, I believe, but they would get in. But these next three won't be easy. And then, you know, you're going to hear from Tom Izzo in just a moment. He's going to talk about the fatigue factor. He's going to talk about, you know, this really tough stretch of basketball in relation to his prep time and how, you know, you're playing these big dog programs and you're only getting, like, you know, one day prep. You know, when they play Michigan, you're going to have, like, just one day of prep, you know, in between. So, you know, you'll hear Tom Izzo expound upon that, and it's going to play a major factor. And the reason why I say you're going to get one day prep in between Michigan, because, you know, one of those days are going to be a practice day, and then he's not going to, he doesn't want to have back-to-back hard practice days, because you play on March 4th, the game will be on March 7th. So you have 2 days in between that, and, you know, you want one day to be a rest day so you don't have any crazy injury or of some sort. So you just have to prep in other ways, though. You have to prep, you know, by looking at film and taking mental notes. So, you know, it's, you know, nothing is guaranteed for Michigan State right now. Nothing is guaranteed, but, you know, you if you want to win these games, you can't have self-inflicted wounds. And you got to make adjustments. And part of this is on Tom Izzo as well. I thought that Michigan State, you know, could have done a better job at finding ways to penetrate the lane to open up things a bit. One, you fall behind 11 to nothing. Two, you took 28 threes. That's not what Michigan State does. And then three, you can't keep missing the front end of a 1-1 at the charity stripe. Those are free points, and you got to convert those. You just have to. Self-inflicted wounds. From the free throw line, Michigan State was just 9 of 15. 9 of 15. 60%. That's not going to get the job done. Maryland was fantastic from the free throw line. 23 of 24, folks. And a major shout out to Eric Ayala, who went to the line and shot 13 free throws and made all 13. Wow. That's pretty amazing, right? He finished with 22 points. In addition to Ayala, I thought Hakeem Hart was also fantastic, the sophomore guard. You know, he had big shots and big situations for Maryland in that game. And anytime Michigan State had a run, it was like Hart just stuck a dagger right through the heart of Spartan fans everywhere with a big shot. But this Michigan State team still has life, and they will go back to the drawing board to try and figure this out. Right now, I want you to hear what head coach of the Michigan State men's basketball team, Tom Izzo, had to say after the game. Here he is with a few thoughts.
You know, we get these games the way we've had, and it was a factor. They played good. They're a 68% free throw shooting team. They hit 24, 25. And the only thing that bothered me was I wouldn't have minded as after the game went on, we dragged down. But when the game started, we dragged down. I mean, we got down 11-0, and really that's the way the game stayed. It wasn't an 18-point game. And it wasn't a 4-point game or whatever we got it down to. It was an 8, 9, 10-point game the whole way. And that's the way it started. And that was disappointing because there was no excuse. We gave up some threes. And they haven't been, a couple of those guys weren't shooting as good from the three, and they did. And the free throw line was a joke. I mean, we hit one guy was 48% and hit two. And we missed a bunch of free throws. You know, we missed some front ends of 1-1. And you know, we tried to come back a couple times, but two best players struggled. They struggled because I played them 40 minutes and 38 minutes, and I've, you know, tried to beat the hell out of them, and that is my fault, but I had to do what I had to do. And then we had a couple guys that rose up a little bit. I thought Malik and Joey, you know, played very well, considering, and, you know, we had some strange lineups in there, but Rocket got in foul trouble and he didn't play that good. And when he got in foul trouble, you know, I tried the freshman, but ended up putting Josh there. And now we have our whole lineups changed. And it was just disappointing that we started out like we did. Also disappointing that we finished like we did, because it looks like a blowout, but who knows? You know, if they think the net is the thing to do, and it makes a difference. You know, I so disagree with that. But, hey, we didn't do our job. We didn't win the game. Goals haven't changed. Situation I talked to my guys privately about 6 games ago hasn't changed one bit. And we got to go home and beat Indiana, and that's what we're going to try to do.
First question comes from Stoney.
Yeah, Coach, how much of that of the game was their good defense interior? Were you guys settling and us missing jumpers?
Yeah, I thought we settled, and I didn't think we moved the ball, and I didn't think we moved bodies. I mean, that, to me, that was the worst first 6 minutes that we played all year, in a couple of years. I mean, I just thought we were standing around. Was it because we were – I don't know why. Then we started moving the ball around, but we settled for threes a little bit too much, and Aaron's were right on. Josh's were pretty much on. They were just short. And that was the story of the night. And but I thought they did a good job. I think you got to give them credit. They made free throws. They made threes. You know, I'll try to keep where you can see my head. I don't know why. I don't really enjoy seeing my head either. So I don't know why. I'll do whatever I got to do for you guys. But I, you know, I was just disappointed in that start. And plus, you know, I mean, Josh and Aaron gave me everything they could. I thought Joey and Malik did, and I thought some other guys just didn't play as well as I was hoping they'd play.
Thank you. We'll go to Chris Solari.
Hey, Tom, you mentioned that about beating the hell out of Josh and Aaron. You know, yeah. I saw you gave him a little bit of rest towards the end. I mean, do you at this point? I mean, is it just a mind over matter thing for these guys down the stretch with these games coming up? Or how do you guess do you deal with that potential for fatigue?
Well, it's not mind over matter. It's real. I mean, you know, I don't know. Did Maryland play last Saturday or Sunday? Sunday. And I mean, get a couple days off and you. I mean, I thought they played good. I mean, it's, you know, I've been for this play every game. So there's no excuse on it, but there's a reality to it. And so the reality is we were in two of the toughest games ever, and I think it took something out of those guys. You know, we tried to really dummy down what we did the other day the best we could. But it was, you know, the other hard thing is when you have a 1 or 2 day prep for a team you haven't played all year, it'll be a little easier for Indiana. A 1 day prep, if we get home at a decent time tonight, it'll be a little easier because we've already played them. But when you have, you know, we're going to have a 1 day prep for Michigan. We have a 1 day prep or 2 day prep for Maryland. It was really 1 day because we couldn't do anything one of the days. That's hard. So it isn't mind over matter. They gave me everything they could give me. It's the reality of what we're going through. And, you know, we got to get them freshened up somehow because they got still a lot to play for, if you ask me.
Next, we'll go to Lindsey Huddleston.
Hey, Tom, talk about playing from behind. I know it's never by design, but you've had some success these last few games playing from behind. But can you talk about the fine line between playing from behind and having success representing a never quit attitude, but also that we can turn it on when we need to attitude?
Yeah, you know, it was funny. At least we were down 4 or 5. We cut it to 5. You know, Aaron tried to make a big play, but it was 1-on-4. And then, you know, he missed the shot. And then they get a layup on the other end. I mean, that was the lack of having a true point guard in there. And we were trying to organize something and it didn't get organized. And again, nobody's fault as far as those guys go. But I don't think they tried to turn it on. I think that we got ambushed at the beginning. You know, they made their threes. They made free throws. There was a time I think they had made 4 threes and 6 free throws or something. And this is not the greatest free throw shooting team. So, and then in that same time, we had missed a couple front ends of a 1-on-1. And, you know, you can't do that if you're us. We're not that talented right now or that good to be able to do that. So, you know, that we can work on, but there's no excuse for the start. I give them some credit, but just standing around and that, you know, if that would happen in the second half, you know, I would have felt a little different about it, but it really ticked me off the way we started out because that's the way the game went. You know, the game might as well ended 3 minutes into the game. It was really the same as it was the end of the game.
Next question, we'll go to Rico Cooney.
Hey, Tom, I think I know and understand how you feel about the, you know, the possibility of fatigue and tired because Aaron talked about just shots were short and everything. But I'm going to switch up a little bit. Talk about, I guess, Joey kind of working himself back into being Joey these last few games.
God, positive question. not that you guys have been negative. I'm just kidding you. I really felt good about Joey. He not only hit some threes, if he would have made those 2 free throws, he would have had 13 or 15 points. He actually played more physical inside. He gets 8 rebounds. He guarded people a little better. I think that's a good way to put it. He's working himself out of some things. It's nothing's been easy through all this, but that was a very encouraging. And I do think Malik played a little better. The guy that got tired so early and we never put him back in was Julius. He was just out of it after like 4 minutes, and I don't know for what reason. But
again, Coach Izzo giving you his thoughts on last night's loss. Frustrating. I mean, you can hear it in his voice. You know, feels as though his team is a bit tired. Talked about how poorly they shot. You know, talked about the free throw woes. So hopefully Michigan State is getting some rest and then, you know, getting out of that practice. Not too hard because you do want to rest these guys. You know, this is a very tough stretch of basketball right now because you do have just a 1-game prep before you welcome Indiana to the friendly confines of the Breslin Center tomorrow night. But what are your thoughts on Michigan State? You know, what do you believe this team must do in order to make the tournament? I want to hear from you guys. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Leave us a voicemail at that number. Go to facebook.com/WKAR News. Leave us a comment anywhere there on our Facebook page. And you can tweet us. Tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR, or tweet the show at WKAR News. Let's hit our final break. And when we come back, I'll have weekend winners for you. You are listening to the Monday edition of WKAR's Current Sports. All right, welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. Weekend winners for you guys, where I take a look at the weekend that was and bring to you my favorite moments in the world of sports and beyond for weekend winners. And I want to start with Tiger Woods and all of the players who honored him at the WGC Workday Championship one Sunday. It was just very, very cool to see everybody who came out and wore red. Just absolutely awesome. Awesome, awesome stuff. And a fitting tribute to Tiger as, you know, he tries to recover from that really tough car accident. But, you know, guys like, you know, Rory McIlroy and Jason Day, Tony Finau. Tony Finau actually even showed up rocking the, you know, the red shirt, black pants, and the backwards cap, as Tiger would normally do anytime he shows up to the golf course, which was pretty cool to see. And Phil Mickelson, Tiger's number one rival, and they're great friends now. You know, and I love to just look back and see how that relationship has evolved now to this really cool friendship between the two. But even Phil Mickelson, he talked afterwards how, you know, he had to go out and buy a red shirt because he, quote unquote, didn't own one. And, you know, he wore it today, you know, with a black overshirt, long sleeve overshirt to honor Tiger, which was pretty cool to see. You know, he joked afterwards, like, yeah, even though I didn't want to, but no, he's, you know, it's all for Tiger Woods, all for Tiger Woods. Very cool to see. And you know, as we move along here, and think about Tiger Woods and his recovery, you know, it's going to be a long road, I believe. But if there's one thing I've learned, it's never to count out Tiger Woods. But it just shows you, when you look at that image yesterday of all of the golfers who wore the red shirt and the black pants, something that actually Tiger Woods' mom suggested he wear early on in his career back in the day. His mom suggested he wear that every single Sunday, you know, being out for blood, going for the kill on Sunday, the final day of a PGA Tour event. It just shows his impact. And it shows how the golf world respects him, because the game wouldn't be what it is today and would not have the purse that you normally see during a golf major championship if it was not for Tiger Woods. Tiger made that happen. And people, you know, these golfers respect that. They know that Tiger paved the way for them to be able to make a healthy living the way they do playing the game of golf, because Tiger was the guy that made that happen. So that was awesome to see. You know, also over the weekend, you know, I mentioned Andre Durrell, you know, drawing his fight, Flint's own Andre Durrell drawing his fight against Kyron Davis over the weekend. And another boxing match I watched was Canelo Alvarez. Yeah. Canelo is fantastic. He's a great, great fighter. One of my favorite fighters to watch. And he had a fight over the weekend at the Hard Rock Stadium in Miami, Florida. It was an incredible atmosphere. Canelo came out with Bad Bunny, you know, a huge, huge Latin artist, fireworks everywhere. I mean, it was an amazing atmosphere. But I tell you what, Avni Yildirim from Turkey, dude didn't show up. Dude did not show up at all. It seemed as though, you know, he was caught. Like, he looked like a deer in the headlights, really. I mean, it was like the atmosphere was just way too much for him. I thought he was thinking way too much, and he just wouldn't fight. You know, from the very start of that fight, you know, he just was not throwing punches at all, took a beating. And, you know, after round three, you know, he's sitting there in the corner, and his trainer's like, hey, man, if you don't fight, I'm going to call this thing. I'm throwing in the towel. That's going to be it. The referee even came over and started to talk to him, and then the next thing you know, the ref said, no, this is over. This dude isn't here right now. And Canelo threw up his hands, an easy dub for him. So, yeah, Canelo. I don't know who can beat the guy. I have no clue who can beat Canelo Alvarez. He is on a roll right now, and there aren't too many fighters out there that can really give him good, healthy competition. But that was an easy dub. It was kind of like a no mas moment, wasn't it? It really was. But that was pretty cool to see some great boxing entertainment over the weekend. And, you know, other than that, you know, the other weekend winners that I have to do with the Golden Globes. You know, I sat on, you know, you guys know I'm a big TV fan, and I sat on my couch and watched the Golden Globes last night, and I want to give a big shout out to Daniel Kaluuya, who earned a Golden Globe for his role of Chairman Fred Hampton in Judas and the Black Messiah, which is streaming right now on Amazon Prime, a fantastic movie that details the assassination of Fred Hampton, who was the leader of the Black Panther Party back in the day. Also, John Boyega, another fantastic black British actor who won a Golden Globe for his role in the Amazon Prime production of Small Axe. So awesome to see that. Chadwick Boseman as well, as his wife accepted his posthumous Golden Globe in his, when it comes to his fantastic work in Ma Rainey's Black Bottom, alongside the fantastic Viola Davis and many fantastic actors in that production, which you can check out on Netflix. But Chadwick Boseman, who was gone too soon, our Black Panther, right? Gone. And he's so deserving. I mean, if you watch his performance in Ma Rainey's Black Bottom, you know, I think his best acting performance of his career. And he left us with a treat. He left us with his best performance. So, and so many other winners, Nomadland, you know, the first, female Asian director, to win a Golden Globe. Nomadland took, a lot of awards yesterday, but Chloe Zhao, amazing stuff there. Many big winners though. Many big winners. Yeah. So those are my weekend winners, folks. I want you guys to have a fantastic rest of your Monday though. We'll be back at it on Tuesday. We will preview Indiana. Also, I have some football talk. I want to talk about what's going on out in Ann Arbor with Jim Harbaugh and this whole quarterback situation and what is the outlook for Michigan football in 2021. All right. So we'll get to that as well. And more, but until Tuesday, we are on a 23-hour break. Be smart, be safe, and be easy, people.